Hi, this is Michael McConaughey. I'm the voice of Vampire Hunter D and a lot of other things. I've been very fortunate in being able to be a whole lot of different people in my career. You are listening to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, and you better enjoy it.
It was wintertime in Nashville, down on Music City Row. And I was looking for a place to get myself out of the cold, to warm the frozen feeling that was eating at my soul, keep the chilly wind off my guitar. My thirsty wanted whiskey, my hunger needed beans. But it had been a month of payday since I'd heard that eagle scream. So with a stomach full of empty and a pocket full of dreams, I left my pride and stepped inside a bar. Actually, I guess you'd call it a tavern. Cigarette smoke to the ceiling and sawdust on the floor. Friendly shadows.
Welcome back to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, a podcast dedicated to any and all vampire movies of the night. I am your host, Dr. Chris.
And I'm Loz Cadman, indie author of the Midnight Devotion series. If you like your emo punk rock music and vampires, then that's where you can go and get that content.
I am covering this film, only the first of the Blade film, and we're talking about minutes 25 to 30 as we start with Karen uncovering Blade's sword.
Yes, the deadly sword that is just covered up only for her to be nosy and start touching things that she shouldn't. Because, like, surely, like, you would not want to touch something that looks very, like, foreign to you, for sure. And, like, the moment she touches this sword, something cranks and activates, and thankfully her hand is far away from the handle as blades just suddenly come out from the... Is it the pommel or, like, the handle grip?
Yeah, it's the handle grip. It's basically to prevent anyone from stealing Blade's sword without his, obviously, signature to it to deactivate it. Unless there's like a kill switch that, you know, unless anybody could really hold it, but they don't know there's a kill switch when they grab it from him. I think it's not a matter of like it being like tuned to his signature. I think it's a matter of like people are not going to be thinking there's a kill switch to stop a trap from springing. Kind of like Batman on his cowl will wear like some type of like shocker around his cowl. So if someone tries to remove it, it shocks them. You know, that happened like in The Dark Knight.
Yes, for definite. And it's also like a 5-second warning, isn't it? Especially since it goes, there's like a little device that goes around 360 of the handle before the blades come out. So it's like a bit of a forewarning beforehand. It's like, this is your 5-second warning to get your hands off my weapon.
Whistler calls her, you know, tells Blade, you know, bringing home a stray, that's not a very good idea.
Yes, and she's a blood scientist, which is like, what are the odds of that?
Now, do you know who this actor is that's playing Whistler?
It's Chris Christopherson.
Yes, and do you know what he's mostly significant for? And, of course, if for anyone not aware, Chris Christopherson just passed away last year.
He did, didn't he?
I think it was either last year or this year. But he was, September 28th, 2024, we lost Chris Christopherson. He was a singer, songwriter, actor, and Golden Globe winner. He was in the movie A Star Is Born, the original film A Star Is Born, with Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, he was.
Gary Busey was also in that. Joanne Levine, Paul Mazursky. But that was the original film. A lot of people, of course, very familiar with the remake that came out just a few years ago with Lady Gaga.
Yes. And he was also in the 2001 Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, not a great movie.
No, it is not. As a Tim Burton fan, I can say wholeheartedly, not a good movie. So yeah, he was in that. I kept looking at him, and I don't know if you're aware, if you know your WWE superstars, but he reminded me of like Drew McIntyre, the Scottish wrestler, if he was like 30 years older. Every time I looked at him, he just had that face.
Now, here's something a lot of people won't know, is that Whistler from Blade did not first appear in the Blade comic book series. Blade in the comic books was raised by like the Jazz Man. He was like a musician that that found Blade living on the streets and discovered what he is.
Yes.
Whistler comes from the third season of the Spider-Man animated series called Blade, the episode called Blade the Vampire Hunter. A string of mysterious plasma, as it's called, because they couldn't use blood because it was a kid's cartoon. A series of victims have been showing up in and around ESU University, Empire State University, and New York with blood drained from their bodies. And Blade thinks that Spider-Man is responsible for it. Like, he's a vampire because it had been seen that Spider-Man had been turned into a monster. And Blade thinks that he's been turned into a vampire or some kind of vampire monster. What had happened is Spider-Man had mutated into the Man-Spider. And that's what confused a lot of people. But Whistler never showed up until that episode, and that's where they take the character of Whistler from. And in that, he explains that he taught Blade everything he knows about vampire hunting and how to harness his powers, and also came up with the serum to help Blade stop his urges of draining human blood. Like Harley Quinn from also came from Batman the Animated Series, or Firestar came from Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. Mercy, also a DC Comics character that came from Superman the Animated Series. Whistler is a character that made the transition from the comic books to the silver screen, but never really a character in the comics right now. And I read a lot of Blade comics, and I don't remember Whistler ever actually getting into the comics itself. But it's just kind of funny that he originated from a cartoon, and he was voiced by Malcolm McDowell.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Malcolm McDowell played Whistler before Kris Kristofferson did.
Very cool, because Blade was originally first appeared in 1973, wasn't he?
Blade didn't have his own comic book series. Really, he made sporadic appearances in Vampire Comics for a long time, but he didn't really have his own comic book until the 90s.
No, he didn't. Yeah. No.
She sees Whistler give Blade his serum, and that's when they catch her spying on them, and then they stop her, and they explain who they are, and that, you know, there's vampires everywhere, and she needs to be careful.
Yes, definitely. And basically, like, she was like, oh, where am I supposed to go? And Blade is just like, you're going to be tracking you down, you know? And it's like, that's the more reason to tell her where she should go, you know? Because, like, she's now like a walking target. Where's she going to hide?
Right. And they kept her because they were afraid she would turn into a vampire. And so they had to keep her, you know, under kind of observation to make sure that didn't happen.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm just still, like, stunned at the fact that they've managed to, that of all the people, they say that he was a blood scientist, so she's going to be heck useful for them in future, and probably will be able to work out ex machinas to help with the plot.
Right, and I think the reason why Blade saved her is because she does remind him of his mother, and I also believe that is why there is no romantic relationship between her and Blade in this movie. Other than later on in the film, she allows him to bite her. It doesn't go past that. They do not make out. They do not have a sexual relationship. They are just she is just there to be a plot device to move the plot along and to help Blade with his finding a cure for being a vampire. So that's it. It's one of the most rare occasions that we have no romantic entanglement in this film with two of our four main characters, which is Blade, Frost, Whistler, and Karen. And the only relationship that we ever see in this movie that's considered, like, sexual, besides the one at the beginning with the vampire luring the kid to the club, which doesn't really count, is Frost and his girlfriend. That's it. And I guess Frost and Blade's mom have something going on, too. But let's face it, that's not, like, the romance we're thinking about. You know, this isn't, like, a Drew and Spike thing. So it was such a rarity at this time that we'd never had these two forced into a relationship. In fact, in all three of the Blade films, Blade and his female partner, whether they are a vampire hunter, or just a human, they never have a relationship.
And I'm thankful for that.
It's
for sure.
Funny because of the fact that the poster says, like, the heart of a hero. You know, the heart, you know what I mean? And it's got, like, Karen's eyes. Karen's, like, image is above Blade. And it makes it look like these two are going to be, like, in some kind of romantic relationship. But again, thank God that never happened. It's so damn funny. At a time when vampires were, like, definitely romanticized, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer was out at this point. They were in I think in 1998, Buffy was in its third season, and we were on the cusp of Angel starting. And let's face it, Buffy and Angel had a huge relationship, and she would, of course, have one with Spike.
Yes, that was like the it was kind of like a lot of vampire content around like this 10-year period between Blade up to Twilight. It's like vampires became quite a trend, but I think Blade did the good thing of not having romance whatsoever, because I just think it would have been very off character of him. So it's like, I like this woman because she reminds me of my mother.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, that's pretty much with Whistler handing her like the silver nitrate essence of garlic spray mace. Yeah. That's how we end our 5 minutes.
Yeah, and he's also giving her like a little bit of vampire lore, saying crosses don't do squat and they're allergic to silver and sunlight and UV rays. And it got me wondering, like, okay, so I take it religion doesn't work on these vampires.
Correct, basically, yeah. Crosses aren't going to do squat. It's a stake through the heart pretty much will kill them. Stake through the heart will kill anything. But that's all the notes I have for these 5 minutes. Where can people find you, Loz?
You can find me on Facebook at Loz Cabman Books. You can find me on Instagram at cherry_rabbit_Loz. You can find me on X at Loz Cabman. And you can purchase a copy of Midnight Devotion and its new sequel, Tarnished Hearts, on Amazon and other online bookstores.
One thing I also want to mention real quick, because this is a vampire related podcast, but also because we are covering a comic book show. In recent news today, at the day of the time we're recording this, which is 5/25, we just lost writer Peter David. Comic book writer Peter David is best known for writing The Incredible Hulk. Through the 90s, and as well as X-Factor and several other titles, including a number of Star Trek novels. But he was 68 years old. He has just, it was just announced a few hours ago that he has passed away. Aquaman and Supergirl are also two heavily acclaimed titles that he was the writer of, as well as Captain Marvel, not Carol Danvers, but Jenis Veld, who is the son of the original Captain Marvel. But in terms of just for vampire fiction in general, he wrote a Spike versus Dracula miniseries set in the Buffyverse.
Oh, rest in peace, Peter. Thank you for all your content.
You can find me over on my own radio show, Radio of Horror, as well as my own vampire book and comic book series, which is Vlada, A Dracula Tale. And we'll be back in a few weeks with another 5 minutes of the exciting movie Blade here on the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast. Don't forget to find us on iTunes, Amazon, and wherever else you happen to find our podcast. There's some new sites and links on the RadioHorror.com site. You can also send me an email, thatradiohorror@gmail.com, but please leave a rating on anywhere that you do find the show. Thank you, everyone.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. Didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled through my closet for my clothes and found my cleanest dirty shirt. And I shaved my face and combed my hair and stumbled down the stairs to meet the day.